The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. I think it's important to get a picture of what is happening leading up to this text to see how all the pieces fit together. So we start with a man named John the Baptist who is by the Jordan River, and John is inviting people to come forward to repent of their sins and to be baptized in the Jordan River. Regularly, however, John also says to those that are coming to him, "I am not the one that everyone is expecting. There is one who is coming who is greater than me, and the Holy Spirit will be upon him, and he will be the one that brings about the forgiveness of sins." And sure enough, Jesus shows up. We should remember that Jesus is John's cousin, probably about 6 months older than Jesus. And what John witnesses is Jesus is baptized in the Jordan by John, and as he comes out of the water, the skies open up, the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, and God proclaims, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased." It is this Jesus to whom then John refers as the one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John had followers. John had disciples. And the two that are mentioned here, one of whom's name is Andrew, they left following John and started to follow Jesus. So that is the moment that we encounter as we hear the gospel text for today, when those first two disciples stop following John and start following Jesus. This was what John desired, because it's a couple chapters later in the Gospel of John that John the Baptist will actually say, I must decrease so that he can increase. Someone after the early service asked, can you remind me what happens to John the Baptist? And he said, do it in two sentences, which like asking a pastor to summarize something in two sentences, I said, John the Baptist was arrested by Herod and he cut off his head. He said, thank you. That's what I needed to know. So that's where John goes in the story. But what we see are these disciples, one of whom is Andrew, who have moved from John's baptism or repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sin. It's rooted on their action of repentance to following Jesus, where forgiveness comes through him by the grace of God. And so we see that shift. And it then becomes part of the story to follow what happens to the disciples throughout the rest of the Gospel of John. And in following those disciples, we can get some hints as to what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. But to be a follower of Jesus, we learn, is to be part of a way of life that has extraordinary highs and extraordinary lows. Some of the disciples go with Jesus to the wedding at Cana. Who doesn't want to go to a wedding where you have someone who can change water into wine? It was extraordinary. They're overwhelmed by that moment. They also see Jesus taken and heal those who are sick and to give sight to those who are blind and hearing to those who can't hear. He even ends up raising Lazarus from the dead. A lot of significant highs. But they also, in their life of discipleship, really experience the depth of despair because they see how the world is broken around them. They see the numbers of people who are broken coming to Jesus, yearning for someone who can make things better in their lives. They see the good religious leaders of the day find ways to attack Jesus and trap him and try to take his life. They see Jesus die on a cross. And so extraordinary highs, extraordinary lows. But we need to also remember that in between was just some really boring life. And I think we forget that as followers of Jesus. We like living for the highs. And even we find ourselves rallying in those times when things are at their worst. But a good part of Christian life is lived in the ordinary. You know, wouldn't it be nice if every Sunday it was like Christmas Eve and Easter? Huge packed people in the galleries. But then you got a Sunday like this where it's snowy and icy. It's a whole different experience than Christmas Eve, trust me. But it's in that ordinary. And the each and every part of an ordinary day that they continue to see Jesus with them, teaching them and guiding them. The disciples also encounter what happens when they don't get along with each other. Now, I know churches nowadays don't have conflicts, but we're talking about a different time here. But you have two of the disciples who come up with this plan among themselves. And they go up to Jesus and they say to Jesus, out of earshot of the rest of the disciples, of course, when you come into your kingdom, can I sit at the right and can I sit at the left so we can be in these positions of status with you? Jesus, instead of talking just to them, turns around and tells everybody what they just said. And so not only then in this gathering of faithful people, you have those who want that high status, then you have those who are angry at the ones who are asking for the high status and grumbling and resenting them for their request. Because the disciples are human beings. And human beings fall into traps, including at times wanting to be better than others. And we are reminded that as disciples of Jesus, we are all one in the same, a beloved child of God. Humility, part of being a disciple of Jesus. On the night when Jesus was to be betrayed, what we see Jesus do is at the meal with his disciples, he takes off his outer robe, he grabs a towel, and he goes around from disciple to disciple, kneeling in front of them and washing their feet. What an extraordinary act of humility. And he asks his disciples to be humble like that with one another as well. I remember back when I was in seminary, it was one of those days when a lot of big shots from the church were coming to be on campus, and there was a bishop and some other people who were self-proclaimed important people in the church gathered in the coffee bar after the morning worship service. And in the process, one of them knocked over their cup of coffee and it went on the floor. And one of the other men, they were all men, which should surprise you when you hear what they said, one of the men says, "Let the girl take care of that." You know, the one who takes care of the coffee bar? This one beloved elderly bishop said, "No, I'll do it." He took towels and he got on his hands and knees and he wiped up the floor. He embodied the humility that Jesus asks of his followers. Those who follow Jesus, it's also important to be willing to hear the truth spoken in love. Because there are times when we get notions in our head and we need someone to call us on the carpet for it. Now, what concerns me is that we are moving away from a culture where we want truth spoken in love. In an age when every child gets a trophy and where self-esteem is lifted up as the most important thing, speaking the truth and challenging isn't part of the makeup of those relationships. And so when there is a moment of truth spoken, there is a rejection of that truth. The truth brings pain, but the truth also helps us grow. Or like the old story of the guy that's driving up this crooked mountain road, and he's hugging the right side because it's a really narrow road and being very careful and slow, and he's coming up to this corner, and another car comes around the corner, and the person in the other car rolls down the window and says, "Pig!" And he rolls down his window, and he shouts back at this person, "How dare you call me a pig? I'm doing my best to stay on the right side of the road," and ran in a rage and started going a little faster, ran around the corner and hit a pig. Isn't that what we do? So busy being defensive about the truth, we don't see the damage that we're doing. Followers of Jesus work hard on being willing to hear the truth spoken in love. It's an extraordinary thing that we have, being called to be disciples of Jesus, and it's what shapes every part of our lives, the highs and the lows and the ordinary. It's what brings us together as God's people. I was at the junior varsity basketball game on Friday night between McCaskey and Hemfield. And it was fun because we have youth from our church who play for McCaskey and we have youth from our church who play for Hemfield. And I was watching them as they're warming up the beginning of the game, and then it comes time for them to go to their benches and they sort of cross in front of each other to do that. And the youth from our church went up to the youth from McCaskey and hugged them before the game started. But there's something bigger at stake than just winning. And what is at stake that is so much larger is the way of life that God makes possible for us, because God offers the gift of grace and forgiveness and a new way of life. Amen.